You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the New Churches Podcast. My name is Noah Oldham, here as always with Vance Pittman, the president of Send Network, church planter, author, coach, but a forever student. Good to see you, Vance.
Good to see you, Noah. Great to hang out this morning. Love getting to do this together. Excited about what we're going to talk about today and really excited about our guest.
Yeah, me too. Vance, we don't believe that denominations plant churches. We don't believe that individuals plant churches. We believe that churches plant churches. Vance, right. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Noah, you've heard me say that a lot. Churches plant churches. It's one of the first tweaks I made when I came to Send Network. We had a mission statement that said planting churches everywhere for everyone, and networks don't even plant churches. Churches plant churches. So the first thing I did was add that language to the mission statement that churches planting churches everywhere for everyone, because we have to return to a biblical missiology. When you look in the New Testament, people often say Paul's the greatest church planter who ever lived. That's true. But if that is true, then you have to say the church at Antioch is the greatest sending church, multiplying church in the New Testament, because every church Paul planted, he planted out, having been sent out of the church at Antioch with those missionary teams. And then if you think about Paul's letters, almost every one of Paul's letters in some way mentions collaboration. He's encouraging one church to work with another church or to support another church that's just begun. So everything in the New Testament ties this idea of churches planting churches together. So it's a super important conversation, because too many church planters think when they go out, I'm planting a church. You're not. You're being sent out by a church. That church is planting a church. The church that I planted 22 years ago in Vegas was planted by First Baptist Woodstock. And I've said this many times, if I'd gotten to Vegas and died, they would have sent somebody else, because First Woodstock was planting that church. So super excited to talk today to our guests, because their church has got a lot of experience in planting churches and understanding this biblical missiology. So look forward to diving into it.
Yeah, joining us today for this subject is Josh Howerton, the senior pastor of Lake Point Church, which is a multi-site and multilingual church with six campuses in Dallas, Texas. Before Lake Point, he graduated with a degree in biblical studies from Union University and then headed over to Southern Seminary and pastored the Bridge Church in Nashville, Tennessee for 10 years. He's married to Jana, and together they have two daughters, Eliana Felicity, and a son, Hudson. And Josh, we are so glad to have you here, because we know you care about church planting.
I do. Y'all, seriously, thanks for having me. Longtime fan of what y'all are doing. And obviously, this subject is near and dear.
Josh, man, I didn't know until we got the bio that you were a Union guy. My son played a year of college basketball at Union University. So I was over there with the Bulldogs. He was there. Gosh, it would have been, when did he graduate? He's 28 now. So probably 7-8 years ago. He was there his freshman year, and then he got injured. But yeah, I became a big Bulldog fan while he was playing basketball over there. So let's go.
That's right. That's great.
Well, that's awesome. Well, today we're going to take this perspective of leading and supporting planters from a large church. Josh, God has given you a stewardship of leading a large church. Would you just tell us a little bit about how your church is connected with church planting?
Well, okay. So like, just for our listeners, I'll kind of go ahead and skip to the end and then reverse engineer. You are crazy if your church is not involved in this. And I mean that even just pragmatically, you're crazy, not just theologically. So for us, we are all in. And I was all in at our church in Nashville. Lake Point was really our founding pastor. Pastor Steve Stroop was there for 40 years. Pastor Steve started what at the time was a small network called the Strategic Launch Network. At this point, we have really, that network has metastasized, and we're pouring enormous amounts of energy and resources into it. So at this point, Strategic Launch Network grew to the point where we realized we were going to have to spin it out as its own 501c3 to facilitate its continued growth. right at this point, Strategic Launch Network has planted 60 churches and counting. We'll be at 100 within the next, I think, 3.5 years. Wow. And they're really like beachhead churches. We can talk about more about this later, but we intentionally plant large churches. And so we're all in on that in multiple ways. Financially, in an extremely, extremely significant way. I can talk about that if that would be helpful. But just trust me when I say we are all in.
Man, I love that.
Hey, Josh, let me affirm your testimony. My son-in-law and daughter just moved back to Las Vegas and are going to be planting a church here in Las Vegas, and obviously in partnership with Send Network, but also they're flying down next week. Rick just flew out here and met with them, and they're flying down to Dallas to connect with you guys and talk about it. And you're right. I mean, even in the conversation that I've had already, your church, when you get involved, are all in. Yeah. With investing in these partnerships. So it's you're not just blowing smoke. That's the real deal.
No, we are all in. We are all in. So financially, but then also we've allocated some of our best leaders, Rick Burge, who you just mentioned, to helping plant and scale these churches. And then just relationally and spiritually, I can talk more about that, but we are all in.
Well, we look at the Bible and we see that every church has a role to play in this. You have the large church of Jerusalem that was planting churches and sending missionaries. You see the smaller church of Antioch doing the same thing. And then all those churches that Paul planted, you see them participating in this. And we think about churches of different sizes. We realize there's a different stewardship. Now, if you're a pastor of a smaller church, you might look at a larger church and be like, well, of course you can be involved in church planting. But then we got to stop and think, when you're a pastor of a larger church, you have all these other systems and people to steward and to manage and to move in one direction. But you just mentioned something. There are some strategic opportunities God places in your hands when you are a larger church. And you mentioned it when you said beachhead churches. I'd love for you to explain to us that concept and how you see that strategic for a larger church.
Well, okay, Noah, let me clarify your question. Are you asking why we plant larger churches, or are you asking how churches of all sizes can be involved?
Why you guys plant larger churches?
Yeah, so, you know, we do. Like, man, obviously God uses churches of all sizes to reach all kinds of people. We are all in on that, that kind of thing. But what we do, you know, different networks have different emphases. What we do, we just discovered we're uniquely good at this, is helping identify planters who probably have a unique gifting to scale. And then we have realized that we have a unique gifting to help coach guys to scale in a unique way. So that, like I said, beachhead churches, man, a lot of times an SLN church will go into an area that'll be one of the first churches successfully planted in the area. And it grows to a size where then that church can turn around and facilitate other church plants in the region. And so we just feel like the kingdom return on investment on that strategy is very, very high. So we may plant a church that reaches 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people. That church may help gather, train, and plant 10 or 15 other churches that may not reach that size, but will be just as spiritually significant.
That's awesome. So what are some of the specific things you see in a larger church owning that vision that are necessary to plant beachhead churches or anchor churches, I've heard them called, in other situations?
Yeah, man. So, okay, I think for us, the secret sauce for that has been the ongoing coaching. I think it's been identifying guys with some unique skill sets and then the ongoing coaching. You know, not everybody is gifted for, you know, everything. You guys are probably familiar with kind of that tri-perspectival prophet, priest, king thing. And there's some limitations to that framework, but it's a helpful framework, in my opinion. We're usually identifying guys that are like wired king, like, you know, lead, system, structures, that kind of thing. And those guys just, you know, a lot of times they have a unique ability to scale. What we uniquely do, and I think what a lot of larger churches might also be able to uniquely do, is not just provide unique financial resources, but man, it's like, you know how it is, dude. When you're like in this church, it's reaching people and you've never done it before as the lead guy, being able to talk to somebody that's like, bro, at this size, here's a system that's really important, or man, let me help you solve for that issue. And I do think that we help guys go further, faster. You know, I don't want to, you know, because it's not me, I'm bragging on other people. Those guys in our network, they really warp speed a lot of churches in that regard.
Yeah, let me add this, and I know because I came from, Josh, a very similar situation, larger church in the Western United States. It was a part of planting 80 churches out of our church. Mm-hmm. But what we're not saying is that you have to be a large church to be a multiplying church.
No.
The size of the church does not determine the significance of the church. The size of the mission determines the significance of the church. And the reality is, for every church, the size of the mission is massive, which means every church has massive significance if they wrap their heart around the reality of the mission. Some of the best multiplying churches I've seen are not larger churches. There's just a unique stewardship with a larger church that comes with resources and responsibilities that should be leveraged in a different way. And that's exactly what Josh is speaking to, and what I love, the passion is, and you've identified something that's unique about who you are that you're leveraging for kingdom advancement. You could have leveraged that capacity just to make Lake Point a bigger church, but you've leveraged that for the sake of the kingdom. And that's what I think is so valuable for people to hear.
Dude, I just want to click on that, you know, in two ways. One, like, I'm glad you said the last thing you said, you know, Vance. Just very frankly, Lake Point could have been and could be larger. Pastor Steve Stroop, my predecessor, his last 10 years, he allocated, I'd say, 30% of his time and energy to helping church planters plant, take root, and then be fruitful. Very frankly, Lake Point could probably be about that same percentage larger. But Steve considered that to be a larger kingdom win than just the growth at his own church. And we'll get to this maybe later. I'll be honest, it's more rewarding. There's some uniquely rewarding things about that type of energy allocation.
Josh, I'd love for you to talk. What's some practical advice that you have for pastors who want to lead their churches to be engaged, involved, supportive of planting other churches?
Okay. Yeah, this is a really good question, because I would say that I failed forward in this regard. Like, I made some mistakes, and then I'm like, okay, now I feel like I've got a bead on what is helpful. So can I say, I hope I don't go against any podcast orthodoxy here. Stop me if I do. Let me say some things that I don't think are helpful. So I became the senior pastor of my church in Nashville when it was about 100 people in a school. So I didn't do the startup, rub two sticks together deal, but a lot of people would say, hey, in some ways, you kind of helped plant that church. When I was a part of that, I had a lot of people going, man, you need to multiply immediately, get in the DNA. Personal opinion, some people may disagree. I don't think that churches multiplying immediately from birth is a great idea. I think that was a mistake that we made. It's kind of like, in the same way, I'm not going to coach my 12-year-old to start having babies right now. Hey, we need to get to the spot where there's a maturity, and I've developed to the spot where I'm ready to personally multiply. So I would say that. But let me give a caveat to that. Not every church is called to personally multiply. Like, your church sends out half the church to plant. Not every church is called to multiply right now personally, but every church is called to do something to help with church planting and the multiplication of the kingdom. So I think every church has got to figure out, okay, what's our niche? So that's number one. Number two, I would say, is, man, you just got to get a vision for it. We may, I think, talk about this in a second on the podcast, but man, every pastor, you got to get this, man, that it is a massive, massive net gain, not just for the kingdom, but for your church, when you become personally invested as a church in planting and multiplying other churches. So, you know, just catch that vision. I think resource allocation is big. So what I would say is that every church, personal opinion, like from day one, should start thinking about, how can we allocate our resources so that at least some of our resources are going towards church planting and multiplication. I'll just give a little paradigm that may or may not be helpful to listeners in churches in different stages. Like I like the Lake Point does more than this towards church planting, but I like the model where it's like, hey, our missions budget allocation is 30, 30, 30, 10. I think there's some wisdom to that where it's, hey, 30 local, you know, ministries, care, benevolence, et cetera, 30 national, 30 international, and then we do 10% disaster relief. And what I see a lot of churches doing that I think is a framework that can work from like day one is, hey, the 30% national that goes to national efforts of your missions budget, make that church planting. And you just build that in from day one and it builds a discipline. The last thing I'd say is, man, if churches want to get involved, I do think that it's really important to have a good method for screening opportunities, both from a theological standpoint and a giftedness standpoint. You know, a great church planter is like the best kingdom ROI investment of your resources in the entire, you know, world, in personal opinion. A bad church planter is a money pit and you will waste a lot of money. So having a screening so that I've got good investments, if that makes sense, I think it's important.
Yeah, that's a really good word. And Josh, I'd like to just add this to what you said. And I'm going to push on it a little bit because one of the things I love for our listeners is we bring a lot of diversity of thought and opinion to this podcast. It gives us room to have some different perspectives. Yep. I do teach our planters that we work with to all plant pregnant. And what I mean by that is to plant with a DNA that's going to reproduce, meaning multiplication is not something we're going to consider. Multiplication is something we're going to do. And that's driven by a theological conviction that drives missiology. And here's my theological conviction. No one church can accomplish the mission by itself. So multiplication is not an option. We have to multiply the church. So living things that are healthy always reproduce. So we should have in our DNA. Now, I agree with you that one of the mistakes church planters make is they try to plant too early to get that notch in their belt, and they're not healthy yet, and they're not ready. But it's kind of like with having kids. You use that analogy. You're not going to encourage your 12-year-old, you know, to go get pregnant. But at the same time, if I tell my adult kids, hey, wait to have kids until you can afford it, you think you're ready, you've got all, they're never having kids.
Bro,
you know?
That's a great analogy. Yes.
So I do think we have to, I want them to think, to like I've said this, if we ever got a prospectus sent to us at our church from a planter wanting us to partner, if it was about planting a church, we immediately threw it in the trash. If it was about planting a church, it was going to plant churches. At some point, then we gave some consideration, but we were never going to invest our kingdom dollars in something that was about planting a church because that was never the goal. The goal was the kingdom expanded in cities and nations, and one church couldn't do that by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's zero light between us. 100% agreement with everything you just said.
And good. Just to finalize and drive home that metaphor, I know that none of us told our 12-year-olds, go have a kid now, but most of us were probably telling our kids when they were really little, our little boys, hey, you're going to be a daddy one day, and our little girls, you're going to be a mama one day. We're teaching them the health of that and the glory of that. I love to see our church planters believing that from day one. We will multiply. It's only when, and we're trusting God for that.
Hey, and now I got three kids that are married, and I'm telling them to have babies all the time. Like, come on, bring me some more. Let's go.
It's time.
That's awesome. Hey, so we all know whether you're a small church, a large church, medium-sized church, church planters don't grow on trees somewhere. We've got to plant churches. We've got to identify and develop and send out church planters. Josh, in your church, and maybe similar for other large churches, how are you identifying church planters that you can invest in to send out?
Well, Rick Burge, Steve Stroop and Tim Smith would answer this question in greater detail than me. What I will just say is I'll vouch for their process because they are 60 out of 61 successful, and the average current size of an SLN church plant is 600 at this point. So these guys don't miss. What I will say is they look for a few things. Humility is extremely high on their list. Just to be very honest, there are some guys with large platforms that, you know, I think outwardly people would be like, dude, they're doing well, that we have passed on because we didn't feel good about the humility factor. Wow. That's a really, really important point to us. Hard skills. Those guys do Strengths Finder and something called Culture Index. There's some specific skills they look for. Obviously theological alignment, that sort of thing. So some of those are broad categories. What I would say for us at Lake Point is we are in two ways trying to not just identify them, but produce them. And I'll be honest, this is not something that I feel like anybody has really cracked the code on yet. If I'm aware of somebody, I want to know because I just want to copy them. But there's two things that I think that we're doing. One, we are, a lot of churches have done this first part. We are launching pretty aggressively a school of ministry for that. That's like 22 to 25 year olds with ministry mindedness. What we're trying to do is in the marketplace, they call it vertically aligned organizations. And that's, here's my short analogy. This kind of vertically aligned organizations is why every dude that owns a successful real estate company buys or builds a title company, because he can take the customers from this thing and roll it into the, what we want to do is, hey, Lake Point Church, we see about 150 students per year indicate a desire for a calling to ministry. We'd yes. love to roll them forward into the Lake Point School of Ministry and then roll them even farther forward back into not just the Lake Point staff, but these, you know, in the future, 100 and counting strategic launch network churches so that they're on those staffs to be developed. But then for us, and this is something I think a lot of churches can do, especially multi-site churches, is a lot of churches, when they build their leadership pipeline, they'll reverse engineer it, and you'll notice the end of the leadership pipeline is campus pastor. For us, ours is church planter. And what we're like doing is we're going, man, if you're a campus, to be a campus pastor at Lake Point, you've got to be a very good communicator. But if we got a campus pastor that's like a special communicator, that kind of unlocks a new level of the leadership pipeline. And hey, man, you may need to consider planting. And so it's actually even built into our leadership pipeline. So that's a short answer to a lot of strategy that we're trying to build right now.
I love that, Josh. And I also love that as you think about that school of ministry, one of the things I'm pushing on Send Network to think about is not just the sending of church planters, but the sending of church planting teams. Mm. Everywhere Paul went in the New Testament, every time you read the word Paul in the New Testament, the next word is almost always and. Because Paul never went anywhere by himself. There were teams around him. And with your school of ministry, yeah, there are going to be some people identified that are going to be highly gifted church planter leaders, but they're going to need teams around them. And you guys are going to be able to raise up team members that can go be a part of this and understand that's as valuable of Barnabas, Silas, Timothy were as valuable a part of that church planting process as Paul was. Josh, I know we're running out of time, but there's one question I want you to address is just quickly give us some thoughts, because I know this is so important. How is your church better because you're engaged in church planting?
Dude, this is the thing. Like, if I could sit down with somebody listening to the podcast and have one conversation, this is the one. So let me just say this. One, I think biblically and theologically, especially in the book of Acts, you see this pattern that a person or a church has as much as of the Holy Spirit as is needed for the mission that they're trying to accomplish. Whenever a church steps forward in faith and sacrifice to like do something broader and larger for the kingdom, I simply believe there's a larger anointing that God allocates to that church and that pastor. So number one, I think that's a thing. I think it's a thing. That's number one.
Love it.
Number two, I would say this, and like some people may hear this the wrong way. I just want to speak like super pragmatically. Like honestly, it actually helps the giving culture of your church. Like we genuinely see this at Lake Point, that when people find out what we're doing with church planting, they become more generous because people want to give to things that are high kingdom ROI. And if you do a good job telling your church what you're doing and the kingdom outcomes that are happening, I promise you're going to see the giving culture in your church affected by it. The third thing I would say that is an underrated, it doesn't show up on a spreadsheet, is it's a leadership cheat code, because as a leader, I'm always telling guys, hey man, make sure you're embedding the values that are going to make your future decisions make sense. Well, when you are constantly talking about we're planting, we're sacrificing, we're doing whatever it takes to reach people for Christ in these cities, then when your church needs to launch a new service or plant a new campus, or you need people to make a decision of personal sacrifice to help reach more people for Christ to your church, like everyone's like, well, yeah, of course, that's what we do here. So it's like you are subtly embedding the values that make your future decisions make sense for your church. So there's just, you got to get this, man, like exponential return on investment in this regard.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.